positive Friday. Some people at the Masters, but more importantly, I think a positive day for many female sports fans, as the first female GM of any major of the four major sports leagues was announced today, and it is none other than the Miami Marlins, as they have announced Kim Ng is their GM. Now, she has tons of experience, 30 years in Major Leagues of Baseball. She's been an assistant GM in two different organizations. She's interviewed for numerous GM jobs, and finally, she gets her opportunity to be the GM. And so, pretty historic day. Scott Miller joins us from the Bleacher Report. And Scott, when you look at her resume, no one can really complain. She's definitely paid her dues and has put in the time to understand what it should take to be a GM. And now, obviously, we all know, hey, male, female, it doesn't matter. Being a GM is still different than being an assistant GM, and we'll see how she does.
Yeah, we will. I'm happy. I'm really happy for Kim to get this opportunity. I figured, you know, her window might have passed simply because, as you said, she's interviewed for I don't know how many, but it has to be 8 to 10 general manager jobs in the past, and none that recently. You know, she was, we're going back 8 or 10 years, 8 or 10 years when she was a regular in the interview circuit. And, you know, when she didn't get a job, it kind of looked like, well, maybe her time has passed. And I'm happy it has it. You know, one key thing to point out, I think you mentioned, She's been an assistant general manager with a couple of organizations, and you're correct. I would just add to that, you know, we're not talking like assistant general manager of, you know, some low-level expansion franchise either. I mean, she was an assistant general manager with the New York Yankees and also with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, you know, a couple of the biggest marquee franchises in the game, and then she went on. She worked in the commissioner's office. You know, she's done the work. She has the experience. She's paid the dues. She's earned the opportunity.
It's fantastic. So you look at, like any new GM, it's rare you get to take over a team that's top-notch, right? That doesn't happen very often. Usually, you kind of got to work your way up. So how much work do you feel she has to do? Like, how big of a challenge is this going to be for her and the Marlins?
Well, I mean, It's going to be a challenge, but, you know, they're at least a couple years into their rebuild right now. I mean, we saw they made the playoffs this year. You know, since the Derek Jeter ownership group came in, you know, they've done 3 or 4 years now of heavy lifting. And, you know, they went through the pain of trading away Christian Yelich and Marcell Ozuna. Oof. And some of those really good talents they had, JT Realmuto. And, you know, they've infused this system with a lot of good young talent, and some of that talent starting to flourish. That's what we saw this year when the Marlins made the playoffs. One of the most unlikely stories, period, in the game this year, given that they were the first team to hit with a COVID-19 outbreak right after the season started late. You know, and for them to, I think they made, it was something crazy over 60 games. It was something like, you know, 120 or 130 roster moves they made to get through the season. And yet they still won, and they made the playoffs. And that's a great step toward the future. So there's still some, you know, some refining to do with the young players. There's still more, you know, key trades to be made. But, you know, I think it's also a good situation because, as I mentioned, no secret, Derek Jeter is one of the principal owners of the team. Of course, Derek and Kim know each other from the days when they both were with the Yankees. And then beyond that, Don Mattingly is the manager, has Yankee ties. And so I think it'll be a real comfortable, good start for Kim.
Well, Scott, that was going to be my next question. Sometimes a GM comes in, they like to change personnel. You don't think that's going to be the case here?
I don't see sweeping changes. I mean, I'm sure she'll make a few moves to put her stamp on things. But, you know, Mattingly was just named National League Manager of the Year, rightfully so. I think I did not have a vote on that particular award. But if I had, I would have voted for Mattingly. So, you know, based on the year the Marlins just had, I would, you know, Don Mattingly, I think, is secure as manager. you know, like I say, I'm sure Kim Heng will come in with some of her own ideas, some fresh ideas, you know, and we'll see what they are. But I wouldn't anticipate sweeping changes.
Scott Miller joins us from the Bleacher Report, of course, talking a historic day in major leagues of baseball as Kim Heng is the first woman to be a general manager in any of the four major sports. And, you know, a lot of people were wondering, well, you know, are there other women who are close, or was she kind of a trailblazer? You know, you consider 30 years in that business. Is there anybody else you think close? Because, you know, you can't just get promoted because you're a woman, and hopefully you don't get overlooked because you're a woman. But are there others that you think will be close in the coming years?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't have a list, like a front office roster right in front of me. So I don't know that off the top of my head I can give you some other names, but, you know, we're seeing, you know, I'm sure that, you know, I don't know if we'll see another woman named in the next 6 or 12 months, but, yeah, I mean, there's slowly and rightfully women are making their way into the game. I mean, we saw, you know, San Francisco Giants last year had the first female coach in uniform, Alyssa. And so I think, you know, we've seen that. That was one barrier down, and now this. And, you know, I think no question the door is open for more women to follow.
Looking at baseball overall, free agency coming up, do you think the Blue Jays are going to be a big spender like they were last year? And that's that contract worked out as a, you know, the pitcher they signed ends up as a top three finalist in the Cy Young.
Yeah, Hyunjin Ryu was, they made a real good pickup there. I think they'll be smart about it. They're close enough to winning that I think if they move right for the right move, they'll spend a little bit of money. But it's going to be an interesting winter free agent wise because, you know, in the midst of this pandemic, you know, all the owners are saying, talking about how much money they lost last year, having, you know, playing a shortened season with no fans, no ticket sales. You know, Commissioner Rob Manfred, you know, he said that, you know, each club gets about 70% of its revenue from game day, you know, tickets sold, radio rights, television rights, you know, the whole thing. And so there's no question, before the pandemic, this was an industry that was taking in about $12 billion a year, and they lost several billion dollars last year. And the question is next year, because owners that already have had to lay people off and lose a bunch of money are not expecting a full revenue season next year because, you know, until we get a vaccine and the coronavirus, the COVID-19 is chased away, nobody knows what next season is going to look like, especially to start, you know, right away. Let's say hopefully baseball is able to start on time. So let's say opening day is right around April 1st. Well, you know, I don't think any of the 30 teams are planning on full stadiums, you know, selling 40 or 50,000 tickets to home games right away. You know, and so the big question within baseball is, okay, from team to team, what's going to constitute a sellout next year, at least in the beginning, maybe 10,000 tickets, 11,000. So I think that's going to put a real drag on free agency. So, you know, it'll be incumbent on teams like the Blue Jays. Like I say, they smart move last year with Rue, and there's not going to be a lot of wiggle room this year to make mistakes because, you know, there'll be some money, I think, for free agents, but, you know, not a ton, and you better hit.
Well, I think a flat cap, well, we're seeing in the National Hockey League, and I know that Major League Baseball has a much bigger television contract, but, you know, there's even speculation NBA. You know, the reality is, like, players have made millions of dollars, owners have made millions of dollars, it's great, but the reality is there's going to be a reset. And so I think some players, you know, might be in for a pretty big eye-opening experience that there's just not going to be the money there for teams to spend.
Yeah, that's and the word you used, a reset, is a good word, hitting the, you know, kind of a reset, reboot, however you want to phrase it. And you know, I mean, what's going to happen, I think, too, is, you know, I think this is going to exacerbate the financial gap between the super rich teams like the Dodgers and Yankees and the others,
yeah.
because you know those teams are going to be positioned to absorb a bigger financial hit, right? I mean, look at the Los Angeles Dodgers on the eve of the belated opening day this past summer in July. That's when they signed Mookie Betts to the 12-year, $365 million deal. And you're not going to see a lot of clubs. I mean, well, first of all, Mookie Betts is a special player. There are not a lot of players that are going to command that kind of money anyway. But secondly, you know, even for marquee free agents that are going to command a fair amount of money, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think you're going to see a ton of big offers this winter.
No, some bargain hunting, no question about
yeah.
it. Scott, we appreciate it on a historic day in Major Leagues of Baseball. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks. Take care and stay healthy, everybody.